unbeknownst to us, at least as far as we've known from what we've just been told recently, that Beijing, China, of course, has revealed, tested successfully a nuclear hypersonic missile that travels in excess of 21,000 miles an hour. The United States and Russia woke up to find out that none of us have anything to combat this, which this week really puts China now as the superpower nation of the world. And we are at their mercy. And it's quite an alarming thing to think about. You say, why does this matter? And does it even dovetail into Bible prophecy? We don't know much at all about China regarding Bible prophecy. It is rumored that when the scriptures speak about the kings of the East coming up against the Antichrist in the last days, that some have included China in that, but that's a stretch. It's probably more those in the area of India. But we don't know about China. China's not in the Bible, but neither is America in the Bible. But we know this. The scripture says that in the last days, that all nations will turn against Israel. All the nations of the world will turn their back on Jerusalem, on Israel. And for our nation's existence, we have stood with Israel. And so this is an interesting time, because it may be that America, watch my air quotes here, it may be that America stands with Israel on paper, but America currently doesn't have the power to stand behind or for Israel in the event of Israel being attacked. Ezekiel chapter 37 is a chapter that every Christian should be aware of, because seemingly out of nowhere, suddenly the Bible tells us that Russia will be in a coalition of several nations, somewhere around five or six nations, that will suddenly come against Israel. And the Bible says the nations of the world will simply ask the question of Russia, why are you doing this? That's Ezekiel 38. Why are you doing this? Nobody comes to Israel's aid. And I could see America right now not only not coming to Israel's aid right now, I don't think we can come to our own aid right now, but I'm really concerned right now with Taiwan. Taiwan could very easily be taken by China at any time without a whimper from the United States. So that's a very, very concerning situation. Also this. This is what happens, by the way, when politicians get involved in medicine. And that is, we get 200,000 shipping containers stranded off our California coast here, that if you take a drive down to PCH, that's all you see right now off of our coast. In fact, that's why we had our oil spill on our shores a couple weeks ago. One of those ships dropped anchor and busted open an oil line that was sitting on the bottom of the sea. And that's how we got our coastline messed up. But that's quite a tragic situation. This is because politicians got involved in the economy and medicine. And that's not a good combo. And they messed it all up. And so now we have this supply chain shortage that's going on in the world, which never should have happened. And on top of it, and this is not happy news, but on top of it, there are so many stowaways that are in those containers that have been parked out there for months. And many of them now, when they unload containers, of course, those stowaways are dead, having been embalmed in those containers. It's just a humanitarian crisis on all kinds of fronts. And this is just yet again another step toward the weakening of the United States. And it's sad, because it didn't have to be this way. Listen, friends, everybody, this is a result of fear. These ships are there because they couldn't be unloaded, because our government paid everybody to stay home. And so the people who unload those ships stayed home. So now we've got this international crisis of ships stuck, not only here, but in Louisiana and Georgia and New York. And it's affecting Shanghai, which is the biggest port in the world. And this is why you're hearing on the news that you may not have a Christmas now. Why? Because politicians get in the way of what should normally take place. Very, very strange. Strange events. This kind of a situation beckons, it calls, it cries for a global answer. And if you know anything about your Bible, the Bible talks about, in the not too distant future, somebody coming on the scene with global answers. He's called the Antichrist in the Bible. And he's the political economic wizard. Daniel tells us that he is a political and economic master. And he comes onto the scene and the world thinks he's fantastic. Well, that presupposes there's problems for him to fix. And that's why the world's going to embrace him. So we're moving closer to these end time events. And then one more to keep you up to date. This is interesting. You guys all know, or do you know, that because of President Trump's policies in the Middle East with Israel's enemies, you do know, right, that he had a series of peace treaties negotiated, and those Arab nations that surround Israel began to do trade with Israel, and their economies began to explode. And they love it, by the way. Right now, they love it. They're doing great. And because of that and a few other things, President Trump was nominated for, I think, how many? Three Nobel Peace Prizes because of what he's done in the Middle East. Well, now he's gone, and things are different now in the Middle East. However, one thing stays, one thing remains, and it's something to keep our eyes on. And that is the privatization of Trump's policies, now being headed up by Jared Kushner, and the Abraham Accords are continuing on. What's interesting is it's the Arab nations that have profited so much off of doing business with Israel, especially Saudi Arabia, that they want to keep it going. And the Biden administration wanted to stop it, but now they see the success of it. And so, remarkably, they're going to leave it alone. But you need to keep an eye on that because it's just, we don't know how that's going to go. It's just an interesting, this has not happened before, where a policy of a previous president is not only working, it's going to stay in power. And what does that mean regarding Israel, a peace treaty? We don't know. At length. But again, something to keep your eye on for sure. So church family, Jesus tells us in John's gospel that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. Jesus is the way. And there's a reason why he states it as he does. Now remember, the Bible, this might come as a shock to some of you, Jesus didn't speak English. I'm sure he could if he wanted to. But 2,000 years ago, he didn't speak English. He spoke Arab. He spoke Aramaic, Hebrew. And when he needed to, he probably used Greek. He obviously could speak anything he wanted to. But him being God, he knows all the languages. But one thing is very cool. When he said, I am the way, he didn't say a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In English, we have the definite article in front of those three proclamations, meaning there is no other way. The way. Jesus said he's the way. The truth. Not a truth. He's the truth. That means all other ways and all other truths are off the table. You say, well, why do you say that? What qualifies that statement? Hang on. And he says he is the life. Not a life, the life. So all the things that Jesus said were radical. Would you agree? Radical. Everything about him was radical. When you say such things and you don't follow through, then you're a lunatic or a liar. But when he was crucified and rose again from the dead on the third day, that made him the Lord. Thus, the way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Christ. And tonight, it is just a joy. I take you back in this introduction, I take you back to December 31st, 2019. I'm probably going to mess this up. 2020. And a young man came to our New Year's Eve service that night, and we had a few words together in the back room back there, and he just said, I have a personal question to ask, and he just shared from his heart. This is what I think, and this is what I think about God, and my background's atheism, but this is what I think about God, and this is what I think about a relationship with God, and it just seems to me that God would want me to have a relationship like this with him. I just stood there and listened. And because he was exactly correct. He was answering his own questions. And then on January 16th, it was a Saturday, mid-morning, I had a wonderful opportunity to go out into the freezing waters at Hermosa Beach and baptized in front of so many people who came from PragerU and spectators to see Will Witt be baptized for his faith in Jesus Christ. Will just got in today from New Orleans. He has been on a book tour, and he has authored a book. You guys, you know what? Listen, this is just the caliber of this 25-year-old and what God has done in his life so quickly. This guy wrote his first book, and he had his book tour, and it has already become number 6 on the New York Times best-selling list. You guys give a warm welcome to Will Witt.
Woo! Thank you.
Oh, love it.
Thank you.
Yep.
I just say one thing.
Yep.
So, it's not number 6 on the New York Times bestseller list, because the New York Times hates conservatives. So they decided not to put us on the list. But we got number 6 best-selling book in America, which was incredible. So it was very
there
cool.
There you go.
Very
okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, check out the title of the book. And by the way, we're going to use this as a launch tonight to get into issues that you live with every day. But what a title. How could this not sell? How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. Is that not what we are to do? Is influence people. Of course, when we talk about influence enemies, we're talking about bringing them to the truth. And so we're going to be talking about some of these things tonight. Before we do that, and I'll remind everybody at the end as well, in the foyer, Will's book is for sale. You can get it. And afterward, you're going to be out there signing?
I am, yes.
So I see some of you already bought the book. So make sure you get Will to sign the book tonight. But we encourage you to do that. It's really well done, you guys. I got my copy a while back, and brilliant. This is for your university student. This is for your high schooler. This is for your professor and your teacher. But talk about the book. Why? What inspired the book? And tell us about how it came into being.
I feel like there's a lot of conservative books out there that are kind of just like, here's how the left sucks. And my book talks about how the left sucks, don't get me wrong. But What I really wanted to do is that I've gone and talked to thousands of people all across the country in different places, and I've been able to change thousands of minds. I mean, it's really been an incredible experience. And so with the book, there's 17 different chapters in the book. Each one is a different political or cultural topic. There's one on climate change, one on police brutality, one on racism, all sorts of different topics in there. And it's not just the facts on each one or a diagnosis of a problem. It really gives people the antidote and says, hey, here are the questions and the tactics and persuasion methods that you can actually use going and talking to people. So maybe you're in your college class and your professor starts spouting off about cancel culture. You can turn into my book in the chapter about cancel culture and you can reference all the things that you should ask your professor. Or maybe you're at Thanksgiving dinner and your, you know, 45-year-old aunt who never got married and loves wine is talking about climate change. You can go up to your room, reference the book, find the questions, and be able to talk to her about those exact things. So I really wanted to make a book that is actually so people can actually have good conversations. I mean, I'm sure that all of you guys in here as a Christian or a conservative, you're on social media and you're trying to talk to people, and so much of the time it's just, it's like talking to a wall. I mean, it is terrible sometimes. And so I wrote this book so that people can actually get back to having good dialogue so that, you know, maybe we can save this country. Maybe we can save California.
Yeah, amen to that. I love it. Well, some of the things that I want to do with this book, because I got to tell you, even though he's a very young man, he's written this thing, and if you take a look at it, like he just mentioned, the topics, these are timeless topics. And so what's great about it is, and we'll get into this later, but what's great about it is the truth. This is not just his thoughts. This is backed up with some great stuff. And so what I personally want to do is I'm going to, as I take opportunity, I want to take a photo or a picture or go Facebook Live and talk about it with people for like a few moments and say, hey, check this out. In Will Witt's book, he brings up this issue about the green agenda and how is that going to work? And just drop this truth bomb as almost a witnessing tool, because as a believer, I'm going to throw something in there about God, but get them thinking. We have got to get people thinking. I am convinced that the progressive leftism is diametrically opposed to the blatant truth of the gospel. And they don't want you to read the Bible. Because if you read the Bible, and why is it that communist nations, by the way, outlaw the Bible? Why is it that Hitler burned the Bible? Why is it Mao and Mussolini and all of them, Pol Pot, burn the Bible, destroy the Bible? When people read the Bible, they start thinking for themselves. And so one of the greatest things you can do to your friends and your culture is to start not only thinking for yourself, but having the armaments to get them to start thinking for themselves. And so it's something, it's just fantastic. What was the hardest thing about writing this book?
Wow. There were a lot of things. I would say it actually wasn't the writing of the book. I would say that it was once the book is done. I would say the month up until my book came out, so that was August 21st to September 21st when it released, in terms of marketing and press, that was by far the busiest time of my entire life. I mean, I've never worked so hard trying to do something. I really wanted people to purchase the book, and even if they didn't purchase the book, just to know that it was out there and maybe give it to someone, anything like that. That was definitely the hardest part. I actually found writing the book to be not easy, but it was so fun for me because I'm just a big fan of self-education. I don't think people do enough self-education. I think people expect that you can go on Twitter or on the news and think that you are going to be an expert in these topics. It takes a lot more than that. It takes reading. It takes reading scripture. It takes a lot more. And so when I was writing this book, I learned so many things that I had no idea about, right? That was really cool for me. Even though I've been in this political, cultural world for the last 3 years now, I learned a lot of great things that then I was able to put in the book to share with everyone who reads it. So I really, really enjoyed that part of it.
Can you say something even more specifically to the young people that are either here or watching? Give them some adrenaline as to why they should cut ties with distractions and actually make an investment like you did.
My favorite book is The Picture of Dorian Gray. I'm not sure if many of you guys have read that. It's a classic from the 1800s by Oscar Wilde. And when I was in college, this was my freshman year of college, I was at this time an atheist. I was very sad with a lot of things going on in my life. I was debaucherous. I mean, I did a lot of things that Jesus would not be too proud of, we can put it that way. And during this time, I read this book, The Picture of Dorian Gray, and it was a life-changing book, because essentially within the book, it talks about how you can do all of these things, these material things in your life, and it can feel really good in the moment, and people might look at you a certain way, outside people, but your soul starves, and your soul ends up dying, and that's what happens to Dorian in the book. And that is exactly how I felt. And then when I finally found out what truth is, first I became a conservative, and then as you heard from Jack earlier, I became a Christian. I felt incredibly compelled to speak truth. It's like when you feel like you've been lied to for your entire life, and then someone tells you what is actually true, you don't have a choice but to speak it. The reason why I got baptized is because I kind of said, you know, the pandemic happened, and I was like, all right, I'm going to stop messing around. I'm going to actually read the Bible. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to read it. And I read the four Gospels, and I figured out that if Jesus really died for our sins and everything that is in here is true, then you don't have a choice but to give your life for him. Right?
I love it. That,
yeah. Thank you. And so when you start to realize these types of things and know that there is truth out there and that you don't have to believe the lies and that you can be a strong, adamant voice for something, you feel compelled to do so. And so that's how I felt. And I'll tell one more story quickly.
Oh, please.
When I was in college and I was still kind of figuring out my politics and a lot of different things, and I actually didn't include this in the book, so this is special for everyone here. But there was a girl in one of my classes, this was in my political science course, which was all full of leftist nonsense, but I was still figuring things out, and she had a Trump pin on her backpack, right? This was in 2016. And she came up to me, random girl I hadn't really met before, and she said, hey, who are you voting for? I said, I don't know, why are you talking to me? You know? And she said, oh, I'm voting for Trump. And I said, oh, that's really cool, why are you doing that? And we got into this whole conversation about why she's voting for Trump and about what I think, and I didn't know a lot. But then after she talked to me that day, I went and did a ton of more research on my own and found out that, wow, the world is way different than I thought it was.
Wow.
Things are way worse than I thought they were. Right? And so it was like that girl then got me in touch with Turning Point USA and PragerU and the Leadership Institute, all of these different organizations that then led me to where I am now. If it wasn't for one girl being adamant about her opinions and being brave to come and talk to me about these things, there is no way I would be up here on this stage talking to you right now. I wouldn't have had this book. I wouldn't have done any of the things I do.
That is so great.
Thank you.
Man, that's an encouragement.
It's like that old saying that not everyone can help everyone, but everyone can help someone. You have no idea who you can influence. You have no idea. The person who you might talk to about your faith or your politics or the culture just at large could be someone who you completely changed that person's life. I know my life was changed. I'm in many ways, a totally different person than the person I was before, you know, reborn in a sense. That's because someone decided to have that conversation with me and be brave. You can be that person.
Absolutely. With what you just said, what keeps every one of us, specifically the young people, when you get older, one of the fun parts about getting older is that you don't
care.
There are
fun parts. I have some to look forward to.
There are some fun parts, but you're already doing it, so you'll even have more fun. Is that as you get older, you don't care what people think. And that bothers my wife, Lisa, a lot because on Monday's my day off, and I told her just Monday, I'm going to Home Depot. And she goes, you're not going outside like that, are you? And I said, yeah, I'm already married. I've been married for 43 years. But you can't wear those shoes. And you can't do that. And it's just kind of fun that way. Having said that, is the young people today, that girl had something. In this case, it was a Trump sticker. But she had something to stand for. We'll speak to the young generation today that I, from what I hear, there's no really any reason to live. There's no reason to get out of bed. There's no reason to get involved. But there is a reason. What do they need to be awakened to?
I think nihilism right now is incredibly present in our generation. I think in my generation specifically. I think that social media has done a lot of harm with that. I think that it's made people incredibly vain. And when they're obviously constantly comparing themselves to other people, they don't feel like they are good enough. And so they think that things are meaningless, which is really sad. Christianity has also declined in the West, and so they no longer have that. I mean, church service attendance is way down. It Christianity is going up in other countries, but it's declining here in America and throughout Europe, and so that as well. It's a tough situation, because it's like, we were talking a little bit before about personal responsibility. Yep. Jordan Peterson's entire mantra can basically be solidified down to two words, personal responsibility. And it's like, how can you distill personal responsibility into someone who doesn't want it themselves? Right? It's an incredibly hard thing to do, especially as parents, I understand. You know, you want your kids to take responsibility for what they're doing, not feel entitled. And I know for a fact that when I was going through college and high school and my mom tried to make me have more personal responsibility, there was a lot of times I didn't really listen to her, you know, when I should have. But these are things that have to come from the individual. Okay, they're things that can't necessarily come from always an outside source of someone coming in and telling them. There's a huge cultural problem as well with role models in this country.
Yes.
The young people don't have any role models, whether that's their parents because divorce rates are up, whether that's because they're looking for vapid Hollywood celebrities and Cardi B and these types of people to be their role models. There is no one teaching them good values in this country anymore the way that they used to be taught. And I think that's why we have a big gap. Because we used to have shared values in this country. That even if you were a Democrat and I was a Republican,
that's right,
we could still get along and say at the end of the day, America's a great place. I love the founding of this country. I don't want to be anywhere else, right? That's what we used to have. But there are no more shared values because the young people in this country are not being brought up with those same values anymore. Because the left wants to destroy all of those values. The godless wants to destroy all of these values. And so we are fighting not a war of politics that I think a lot of people think we're doing right now. We are fighting a war of values. And that is the main purpose of what we need to do.
Yeah, really well said.
Thank you.
Well said. So let's talk about risk. You've taken a risk. In fact, let's back up before we talk about the risk. A spectator to your life would say, oh, come on, Will, you're just that white privileged guy out there. You got it on cruise. You know, everything just falls right in line for you. Would you feel comfortable sharing a little bit about how that's not the case?
Definitely. Yeah, I can share as much as I can here. I would say, as you guys have seen my videos, okay, I'm a pretty calm guy. All right? I don't get too mad at the people who are coming up and yelling at me or throwing discriminate hate at me, saying any of these things. I remain very calm. The only time that I've ever really gotten upset in any of my videos or arguments is when people come and talk to me about white privilege. I think that it is one of the most despicable things to say to people because you are taking no look at how this person's life might actually have been or how it turned out, and you are trying to pigeonhole them just based on the color of their skin. I mean, it truly is a disgusting thing to say to people.
That's right on.
Now, I grew up with not the most normal life. I think that, again, just like Jack said, people would look and say, oh, this easy white conservative, you know, he's been living like this whole life. You know, I grew up as a liberal atheist. I grew up without my dad. My dad was in prison when I was growing up, since the age of 5. My mom would work as a nurse in the psych unit. She had a lot of crazy stories doing that. 16-hour shifts on the weekends for my sister and I. You know, I hate to say this because I never want to make myself look like a victim whatsoever. I would hate that. You know, I don't even ever like to even talk about my story because I want people to know me for my ideas, not about my past or anything like that. That's why I don't care about the white privilege stuff or anything. But it's easy to look at people and think that they are a certain way or think that they act a certain way and expect them to always be that way. And people had a lot of low expectations for me and for my life. No one thought that I would ever be in this situation, now speaking at churches and doing this. I mean, it's quite the wild difference than from what I grew up with. But we have to come at people with an open mind. This is why my book works on compassion. There is a time and place for owning the libs, okay? We can have Ben Shapiro. Okay, folks, we're going to own the libs today, all right?
That's good.
It's good. It's not so bad. All right?
Very good.
There is a time and a place for that. Understood. But when we are talking to people on an individual basis, the way that we change minds is through humility, by knowing that they might have something that they can teach us too, and through compassion. And that's through asking questions to these people. And when you do that, you will find that you have a much better success rate at actually talking to people than just trying to berate them with facts as quickly as possible. Have an open mind. I mean, since the beginning of the pandemic, I've read a lot of different books, and I've read a lot of, or talked to a lot of different people, and my political views have shaped wildly. I mean, there are even some things in this book that I now have read, because I wrote this about a year and a half ago, or a year ago is when I finished, and I'm like, man, I wish I would have put all these other things in there, you know, that I now believe. But, you know, that's life.
Oh, that's powerful. So the risk, let's talk about the risk because it's so important. For you to step out, for you to be, and by the way, if you've not seen his videos, you've got to follow him. You got to follow him on Instagram. In fact, can we put up on the screen, or do you want to give people your links and addresses and everything?
Uh-huh, so yeah.
Maybe can throw that up there at some point.
I'll give my social security number first, so please get a pen. I'll do that.
But he has a way of going up to the man or the woman on the street, and you've got to see these things. They are absolutely awesome. And we'll get it up there before the night's over.
Cool.
So people, and it'd be kind of cool, by the way, if everybody, wouldn't it be nice if everybody just subscribed tonight when it goes up there?
That would be a wonderful thing. Yeah, truly
remarkable.
It would
remarkable. Be great. It would be great to do that. But you'll be informed, and you're going to share that with other people. But to do that, you got to take a risk. The fun thing about taking a risk is that when you have truth and you know that you're standing on truth and not your own made up idea, you can take a risk. In fact, the risk is somewhat mitigated in the sense that when you've got the truth, you've got to let that truth out. You got to go for it because it's not going to be dormant. And so talk about that. Talk about having a purpose, and it's purposeful enough to take a risk. I guess you've mentioned values. Tell them regarding risk to value, that ratio of living life.
You guys remember the Goya Beans guy?
Yes.
The CEO of Goya Beans? That guy came out and he said he supported President Trump, right?
Yeah.
And right, the day after, or not even the day after, the second after he did that, every single left-wing mainstream media company came out and said that Goya Beans are racist, okay? These Mexican beans are now racist, apparently. And listen, I had maybe seen Goya Beans on the shelf before, but I'd never bought Goya Beans, anything like that. And so at first, it seemed really scary for this guy, right? He's like, oh my God, all these people are canceling me, and they're taking my the things I said out of context, and they're hating on me. But then what happened the next day after things calmed down a little bit?
I bought Goya Beans.
You bought Goya Beans, right?
Really?
Every single conservative in America went out and bought Goya Beans.
We all...
So people who are worried about what the left is going to do to them now should be far more worried about what's going to happen in the future if they do nothing now. Because things are getting worse in America. I think we can all agree with that. How many of you, you guys read Brave New World? Brave New World I read at the beginning of the pandemic, and it was a life-changing book for me. It really was. Because I've read 1984 as well, and I see there are some similarities there with 1984. But if you haven't read Brave New World, I highly recommend it, because I feel like we are getting to a place in the world that we are much closer to that type of dystopia than we are to a 1984 one.
That's true.
Because in Brave New World, what do these people have above everything else? They have comfortability. They have a comfortable life where they are safe. They have soma, which is this drug they take, which makes them feel a little bit high and easy. They have no families. They have sex with everyone. That's what it's like in the Brave New World. And to me, it seems very congruent with what we are seeing in America today. Because people have put aside risk-taking.
That's
they've
right.
put aside a passionate life or being someone brilliant and articulate and wonderful, and have said, I'm going to choose a mediocre, safe life instead of doing something incredible. And that's where we are in America today. And I see this not just with people who are on the left. I see this with conservatives as well, who say, you know, I don't want to speak out because it's just much easier to not speak out. Right? Of course it is. You keep your job. You don't have people hate you for it. But you end up trying to impress all of these people. You end up impressing no one. And you definitely don't impress God. When you lie to yourself and you lie to everyone else that's out there, and you don't live a brave life, then America will really be lost. America was made by brave men who decided that they had a difference of opinion than what was going on. I mean, think about it. Have you guys ever heard the term 3%ers?
Yes.
Thank you. 3% is essentially... I got 3% of the people clapping for them. 3%er essentially was 3% of the colonists in the revolution actually fought in the revolution. Okay, that is a very small group of people. Think about the founding fathers. All right, this is a very small group of guys who said, I have this radical idea to go away from the British Empire and start our own country and do something incredibly radical and different. It is because of unpopular ideas that America was possible.
That's right.
If it wasn't for people having unpopular ideas and living risky lives, the West and America would never have existed.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Well said. Very well said. So many people today live under the fear. We're talking about risk. So many people live under the fear of being canceled. Talked about the Goya bean industry and all. Today in our world, there's a setting, there's an atmosphere that it's almost waiting to pounce. It's almost, it's as though you say something and it's on you. That's why so many people today are towing the line, doing what the norm is expecting of you. And it's all almost like we're on a conveyor belt going somewhere and we're not thinking. And then you see somebody break that cycle. And I'm trying to think of what that might look like. You know, the proverbial fish swimming upstream. But, you know, in a day and an age where, well, we've got a friend right now, mutual friend. I think he's your boss even, that is kind of upsetting the world right now, is he? Can you tell people about it?
Dennis Prager has upset the world right now because he didn't die from COVID. That is what is upsetting for them.
But some very high-profile media people have wished him to die.
They
want him to die. They may not. Do you guys know why?
So Dennis Prager, who founded PragerU as a radio show in Salem, he got COVID. He's 73 years old, and he welcomed COVID. He said, I've been hugging people and talking to people in my events in the hopes of contracting COVID so that I can build up herd immunity, right? So he can get a natural immunity to the virus. It's an amazing thing. You know, he said natural immunity from the virus is much better than taking the vaccine, right?
Yeah.
That is exactly true. Yeah. And so because of this, people have come out and absolutely slandered Dennis, saying he is just putting people at risk. It's the stupidest thing they've ever heard. People would rather see Dennis die from COVID than have him go against their new religion.
That is
exactly what it is, this vaccine religion, it really is. They would rather have him die than go against that religion. And that's a scary thing. It's like, you know, if you're depressed, would you rather have it that you take all these drugs from Big Pharma and then, you know, have that happen? Or would you rather have natural remedies that make you a better person? Exercise and talking to people and eating good food. It's like an obvious answer, right?
That's
and,
right.
And the left... Thank you.
That's true.
And the left, they used to be these anti-big business people, right? I mean, go back to the 1970s.
So
the left were the anti-big business. That's what they were all about. Now everyone's walking around, people on the left, with Apple and Google on their T-shirts. Next they're going to have Pfizer on their T-shirts, I'm sure. And everything's changed. You would think that they would agree with this type of stuff, but they don't. They're looking totally past it because, again, it is no longer about values. They don't have the same values as us.
So let's get into some real big trouble right now.
I do this a lot.
Okay,
I get into a lot of trouble a lot of the time, so it's good.
So hypothetically,
okay.
Colin Powell lives an illustrious military career, off the charts, successful. And sadly, battling cancer. Right? And he gets two COVID shots. Right? He gets his COVID shots, one and two. And then he gets COVID and dies. Colin Powell's dead today. So the news is saying Colin Powell dies of COVID complications. Just stop and think. Let's get in trouble.
Please. I want to be banned from coming back.
They didn't say he died of cancer complications. They're not about to say that he died of vaccine complications. That's unacceptable. Think about it. I just shared with you guys recently in one of our messages that we recently had a guest speaker who went and got his vaccine and 4 hours later died and had to be paddled and brought back to life. And the doctors told him this was brought on by the vaccine. Stay as far away from the vaccine as possible. It almost killed you. We just had that in one of our guest speakers. Now look, this issue, I'm not against vaccines. As long as they work. I've had vaccines growing up as a kid. And back in my day, you know, you talk about Dennis, you made me laugh on the inside a moment ago, because when I was little, when a neighbor kid got sick, chicken pox or something, my mom, she grabbed me, she made me go down the street and lick the boy's face so I would get it. And that's how they did it. Parents had you just absolutely get it. We were all but today, look, you look at the narrative today, and the truth is there are major, major medical concerns and emergency events that have happened post-vaccine. We here at this church, I think it was this week, this is just Wednesday, it could have been the end of last week, where we had a young woman take the vaccine and within a matter of hours went into a miscarriage of the baby. These things, you say, well, that's just a coincidence. Listen, mathematically, you could argue that. But when you look at all the things that are taking place, ladies and gentlemen, this is an experimental procedure that's taking place on all of humanity. And you know something's up when somebody gets sick and dies, that what's reported on the news is that they didn't die from cancer. They died from COVID. When in reality, I can't prove it, but I'm wondering how much of the vaccine had to deal with Colin Powell dying. We have got to be very, very careful. We're living in an age right now that is such a knee-jerk reaction age. We need to remember that God's word has promised us peace. It's a real peace. And God doesn't want us to be fools. All right? This medication was developed under an Emergency Declaration Act. And scientists have already found out that there's a lot of fillers in the vaccine, metallic particles in the vaccine. And there's just a lot of issues. And so here we are coming into flu season. I'm curious. We're now coming into flu season between now and what, January, February? It's flu season. I wonder if you're going to hear anything about the flu.
Nope.
I don't think so.
We can definitely get more in trouble if you want.
Let's go.
If you look at the numbers and you look at the data, you know, the VARS numbers will tell you that about 15,000 people have died from taking the vaccine. But if you do the actual data, it's looking closer to 250,000 people who have died from the vaccine. This is global, right? You're seeing in Israel, they're 95% vaccinated, more people dying from COVID more than now than ever. Even America,
aren't
more
they the
dying.
Most vaccinated yeah. nation on
yep.
earth?
Yep. In Singapore, in Ireland, some of the most vaccinated places are having the highest amount of deaths. And so what that shows with 250,000 people dying from the vaccine is that, let's say you contract COVID, you have a 99.9% chance of dying, or of living.
No.
Right. Yes, of living. Right. No, the mainstream media would like that. I could say that.
That's the part they're going to
Yeah, that's the part they're going to like. You have a 99.99% chance, 99.9% chance of survival from COVID, which now means, statistically speaking, that you have a better chance of dying from the vaccine than you do if you get COVID and surviving it. That is wild.
Think of that.
And let me tell you what I think is probably the most evil part of all of this when it comes to big pharma. If you take a vaccine and that vaccine hurts you, who is responsible for paying for the damages of you being hurt by that vaccine?
Raise your hand if you know.
You are.
Yeah, you.
The taxpayer is responsible.
Did you all know that? I hope you all knew that.
Oh, you all knew that. Okay, fine. We got well-educated people here. Well, it's a good church.
It wasn't an overwhelming yes.
No, it wasn't overwhelming. But listen, all of you should know that. Because you should know that that is evil. You should know that Republicans and Democrats in Congress both let this happen. Big That's Pharma right. came in and lobbied to them and said, hey, we don't want to be responsible for any of this. And the bureaucrats said, all right, give us some money and we'll make sure that that doesn't happen. And they did it. We just had Chipotle before this. My favorite. Chipotle is one of my great passions in life. I could speak about it for a long time. Yeah. But if I ate that Chipotle and that Chipotle poisoned me, I could sue Chipotle for giving me poisonous food. If I'm on an airplane over here from New Orleans today and the wing on my airplane falls off, it's a pretty bad day, I could sue the airline for having a terrible plane, right? Because they didn't check
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But if you take a vaccine and that vaccine hurts you, you can't sue anyone. That is now on the taxpayer. If you don't say that that is evil, I don't know what evil is then.
Yep.
When your politicians in this country can be bought and sold like bargaining chips, you no longer have a country. That's where we are in America. That's
exactly,
really sad. That's really sad.
That's exactly where we are. You have, in one of your chapters, you address abortion.
I do, yes.
Can you talk about it?
Of course I can. Yeah, I'm very passionate about ending abortion nationwide. I love the Texas abortion bill that just happened. Thank you. I love the Texas abortion bill that just happened, but I was somewhat disappointed with it and I wish that it could have done more. Mm-hmm. I wish that a lot of states would do more. I wish Oklahoma would do more because now all the girls from Texas who would have gotten abortions in Texas are now inundating clinics in Oklahoma and just going up there. It needs to be on a national scale.
That's right.
And it needs to be final and it needs to be swift.
Right.
The way that I changed minds on abortion that I outline in my book that I hope all of you guys will see the right way to do it is, first of all, you have to define terms. You have to understand what abortion means. I mean, that sounds very simple to us, saying, of course we know what abortion means. But many people don't understand what it actually means. They don't understand what all this is. And this is for any argument you have or debate that you have with someone. If you're talking about socialism, make sure that you both say what socialism is at the beginning, or you're arguing on false pretenses. So when it comes to abortion, you are defining the terms, and then you are going through the stages of life and asking people if they understand what at every stage of life, 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, going back from 9 months all the way to conception, if they understand what that child has at that time. Mm-hmm. It's an eye-opening experience for people. I went to UCLA and did that exact thing and went and asked people about abortion and if they thought it was okay at 3 months, if they knew that it had hair and it had a heartbeat at 21 days. And many people changed their minds on it. Mm-hmm. So many people changed their minds on the topic of abortion.
It's scary.
It's a lack of information issue.
Well, it's scary. It's scary because what's scary is that they hadn't thought about that until you challenged them. I remember, do you guys remember when Daniel Pearl, anybody remember Daniel Pearl? Was beheaded on camera, on TV. And every country in the world showed it, except the United States. And I have a friend, she's still a good friend today, who was yelling and screaming how we needed to show. She got a hold of every media outlet. You must show Nicholas Berg and Daniel Pearl getting their heads cut off. You must show this because Americans will not believe it. They will not see it. They will not understand it. They've got to see it. That was Brigitte Gabriel. She watched people in Lebanon have their heads cut off. And when you see someone having their throat slit, you have a tendency to be affected. And she said, "What the greatest mistake we made after 9/11, 2001, was that we shielded the general population from the brutality and the gruesomeness of a death cult. And so today, when you mention, for example, Islam, you just think, well, I know some Muslims. Listen, the doctrine behind all that, the reason why the fundamentalists of Islam do what they do is because they believe in their God and they believe in obeying every word that's in their book. Well, one of them is to slit the throat of the kifr, the non-believer. And you say, well, that's a terrible thing to talk about. Well, that's why I'm talking about it. Because you said it earlier, we like to live in an easy world. We don't want those issues in our lives. We don't want to hear about that. But he mentions that somebody thought about something inside of them having hair and a heartbeat. I just heard recently that there was a group going around showing videos on their phone to college campus young girls, boys, men, young men and women, an abortion. Every American should watch an abortion. Every American should watch an abortion. And I'm just curious, have you ever seen an abortion? Raise your hand if you've seen one. That's not enough people. Because if you see one, it will change your worldview. It'll change your worldview. It's incredible. It's incredible. And our friend Dennis Prager, I love the argument he gives that when somebody says, well, wait a minute, my body, my choice. I'm all in agreement with that. Especially when it comes to vaccines. It's my body, it's my choice. But somebody will say, my body, my choice. Say, do I believe in a woman's right to her own body? Of course I do. Absolutely. The problem is, in this world we live in, we were created in the image of God. And science is of God. And so when a male and a male has a living sperm, a female has a living egg, and when both of those living entities crash into each other, it continues to live. It's all life. But now you've got a human. You've got, just on the sheer mathematical level, you have this incredible explosion of technology. And it's a human being. Just because it's little doesn't mean it doesn't have any value. There's a little guy sitting here in the front row right now. And there's some not so little people sitting in the front row right now. Their size doesn't determine their value, does it? And when you think about that, that all of the technology, when Will's mother became pregnant with Will, that incredible hair was all written in the DNA. Now, she couldn't know that, but God knew. You just wait till you see this kid's head of hair. That information is there. And why would you destroy? See, but it's my body. It's my body. Or I was forced to. Listen, do everybody a favor. Let the baby be adopted. Don't put yourself through a lifetime of guilt and shame and all of that horrible feeling. Because every time you'll see a kid, if it was 6 years ago that you had an abortion, you're going to see a kid that's around 6 years old and you're going to wonder, was it a boy or a girl? Or would it have... It's horrible. Listen, put the baby up for adoption. Let the baby live is what we need to see happen.
Amen.
You want to keep going or do you want to do Q&A?
We could talk about truth if you want to talk
about
truth.
Let's talk
about truth. I think that's important.
In fact, let's talk about truth because Pilate, his words are becoming more relevant today than ever before when he turned to Jesus and said, what is truth? And that's truth on the chopping block today. In fact, in churches, and then I'll let you speak on this, in churches all around the world, truth is being sacrificed on the altar of what is being called unity. Yes. Let's all come together and be one. Forget about the truth, because the truth really makes things messy. Let's sacrifice truth on the altar of unity. Listen, keep this in mind. The most important thing in a church is not unity. You say, well, Pastor Jack, the Bible says that the Lord said how wonderful, how blessed it is that the brethren dwell together in unity. Remember that verse? The word first says, brethren dwell together in unity. It's truth that brings you together. But today we live in a dying church in the world because it has sacrificed truth to say that we're all unified. And if you do that, then you know what? You can be the church of the first Baptist, Islamic, Jewish, Buddhist temple chapel. And it's not going to work. Truth is truth. Jesus is truth. And the truth is what you need to stand on.
That is exactly right. I mean, you said it incredibly. We now live in a society where everyone has their truth. You know, someone says, oh, this is my truth. That's your truth. There is only one truth. When you make truth subjective, that everyone can have their own truth, then you can't have a society that functions. Because people, again, just like with having shared values, if you don't have the shared values, you don't have the shared truth, the same place that you're coming from, then you can't have a society that agrees on anything or is able to get anything done because they can't even understand what they're talking about. Exactly like I said before about when you're arguing with someone or debating with someone or trying to change someone's mind, you are finding out the terms first so that you can come together in truth. And I want to bring this up, this point that I think is incredibly important, that many of you guys here, maybe you have a job and they say, hey, we want you to get the vaccine, and you know, you're a single mother with three kids and you feel like you have to do it. Or maybe you're a student at a university and they tell you that you have to write a paper about why illegal immigration is good, and you have to do it because that's how you get into med school. And or maybe you're in a family of people and they want you to be a conservative or on the left, because if you don't, then you're a pariah within your own family. Okay? I understand why people do what they do. I have no doubt in my mind that people are doing things, I think a lot of times for good intentions, when these kinds of things happen. But I will ask all of you to look at yourself and say, how much of myself am I willing to sacrifice to appease other people until I am no longer the person that I thought I was?
Mm. Oh, you got to say that again. Please. That's deep. That's beautiful.
How much of yourself can you sacrifice until you are no longer pursuing truth? There is no greater purpose in our lives than the pursuit of truth. That is 100% true, because when you pursue truth, you can do anything. You can do anything. Right? Your body might be broken. People might try and destroy your spirit. They might try and break you in every single way. Financially, you might be scarred. But if you pursue truth, then you will always have that. No one can take that away from you.
Amen.
So again, I understand why you would do something for other people. Other people want you to do something. It's a very scary time in America. I've read a lot of American history and have seen this country in many different lights throughout what I've read and seen. And I can tell you that I don't think we've ever been in a place in this country's history where the leadership that we have is less evil. We have the most evil leadership, not just the administration in this country, but the bureaucracy, the swamp, the people who want to see us controlled, and they do it by lying to us. And they want all of you guys to lie, because they don't want you to be an individual. They want you to be a part of a group. They want you to be a part of a collective, a part of this society that they are building, this collective leftist society. Be an individual who values truth, and no one can ever take that away from you.
Amen. So awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So good. Guys, can we do Q&A?
I would love that.
We didn't warn the audio guys, I don't think so. But while they're getting ready, does somebody want to shout out a question? Put your hand up. Right here.
Someone like me, and I'm sure there's a lot of us out here, yeah. that are doing the same thing for the kids and the youth and the grandkids in my case. What advice do you have for someone like me?
Here's what I'll say. If you guys didn't hear her question, she's asking for advice on how to deal with leftist school board, basically, and what to do from here. Now look, I get this question a lot in many different ways of what I'm supposed to do in my class when people come and talk to me or at my work or in my family. You know, these people they don't like me. And I have to say that it's kind of tough love, you know? People are not going to like you if you stand up for truth. That is just how it goes. I understand that people want to be liked. People take a lot of credence to that, especially when it comes to the social media age that we live in. Everybody wants to have the most amount of likes and comments on their photos and have everyone think that they're a great person. But I will tell you again, if all of these other people who you are expecting likes from live by lies, then it doesn't matter if these people like your posts or think that you're a good person. What matters is that you are living by that truth and that people are not going to like you. Jesus said we will have trials That's and right. tribulations, right? That's and right. Jesus called out evil. You know, one thing people talk to me is how to be more like Jesus. One thing I always remember is when he's with the Pharisees and he says, "You den of vipers," you know? He called out evil when he saw it. Those are the type of people that we have to be like. We have to be someone who calls out evil and doesn't sacrifice truth, even if people aren't going to like us. Because again, I mean, that's incredibly brave what you're doing. And you might lose friends, you might lose business opportunities, all sorts of things. But the people who look at you, who are actually close to you and value that you are speaking up, are going to be the greatest people in your life. I can tell you that when I was not speaking truth, the people who were around in my life mm-hmm. are people who I would never associate myself with now. And now I have a very small group of people who I'm very close with.
And that's good.
And I'm very happy about
that. Exactly.
And that's what I mean.
I want to say one more thing. I want to say one more thing to your question. I believe as Christians, everything that we should do, and when you take your stand, we should do it winsomely. They expect us to yell at them, but that's what they do. They yell. Let's not do that. Let's conduct ourselves winsomely. That when we state our argument, listen, when you state your argument, the council may reject it, but you might win 7 people in the audience because you did it with decency and with respect, with logic and with reason, and you win them over to your view. So we want to make sure that we are always, as believers, a good witness. Stand firm, state your argument, and you can state it with passion. But do it in a winsome way with respect. Yep. Over here. George, do you have a question?
Anybody has questions, they can come right up here. Anybody have
questions? You guys want to... We can do that. Or we can do it. Well, seeing that he's up.
He went to all the trouble.
This is what happened. It just popped in my head. And anyways, just something I was researching like 3 weeks ago, and it just out of nowhere just came in my head. It's actually a question for you two, which I don't need you guys to answer. It's just something maybe if you guys want to get more information on down the line. But it's about a new world religion that they're making. Ooh, sorry, I'm choking up a little bit. So apparently the Pope
yes.
and some Saudi prince, or yep. prince, they passed something to where it's a new world religion. But what I think is funny is Christians and everyone around the world can come into it, but if you're Muslim, you'll be executed. You cannot convert to that religion, or yeah, you can't convert yeah. to Christianity. But that's all I really wanted to say. Just something maybe you guys want to look at.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. This is one of those things in the last days that pop up. I personally don't put much credence in it. What he's talking about is the Pope and a few other world leaders have gotten together to try to form some church of unity. But he does make a point in Islam can't join it. So we know that's not the Antichrist religion. Because the Antichrist religion, the world will join him. Okay? But do keep this in mind. When people say, I know Christians who joined this cult. No, you do not. Did you get me? You know people who called themselves Christians. Because Jesus said, once you drink the water I give you and eat the bread I give you, you'll never thirst or hunger again. But there's a lot in the... In the last days, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to have to depart from the faith. The Bible tells us that that's going to happen. Yes.
Thank you for being here, first of all. I am a graduate student at Vanguard University. I don't know if I should have said the name, but I'm going up against mandates that are happening right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to become a teacher to change education right now. What advice would you have for me while I'm going up against people who also are Christians, are standing in truth, but with these mandates that are actually threatening expulsion and suspension of students for not complying?
I'll answer first and then he'll answer better. I would use what you have in your arsenal. And that is, I would go back to, it's not hard. Our founding fathers gave argumentation regarding the reason why the First Amendment is the First Amendment. I would tell your school that you're an American and you have a passport to prove it. And that you are leaning upon, you were taught civics, you're leaning upon your First Amendment rights. And that that's what you're going to stand on, and that you cannot violate your conscience just on your First Amendment right convictions up regarding the law of this nation. And then the second thing is, your faith doesn't allow you to compromise or violate your own conscience.
That's right.
And if you want to do a third thing, your body belongs to the Lord Jesus. And you don't have the authority to put anything foreign against your will in your body.
Right.
Will.
It gets to a point where living here in California, I love this state, okay? I love a lot of things about this state, but I also am very sad about a lot of things about this state, as I'm sure a lot of you guys are too. I think a lot of us feel pretty demoralized with what is happening here. And it comes to a point where the people in charge of this state and in charge of that university and everything, if they found out who I am and what I believe in, they would hate me. They hate everything I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
They hate God. They hate the conservative values I have. They hate Western American values. And it gets to a point where if he's talking about with a religious exemption, and that is, of course, what you should definitely do. Try and get the religious exemption. But if that doesn't work out, there comes a time where we can no longer stay in a place where evil is so prevalent, right? If you have to go to Florida or Idaho or Arizona or Texas to go to school so that you can influence these people, I don't see that that is the worst thing. I don't see it as a giving up. I see it as in ancient times when we had, look at the Crusades or something, and the Crusaders, they take a fortress, but then the Islamists come and they take the fortress back, and then they retreat to a different fortress. It's like, yeah, we might have lost the battle, but we didn't lose the war. Now we're reinforcing somewhere else, and that's going to be an even stronger fortress now because we have all of our troops there. You know what I mean? So I think that there comes a point where we have to... Thank you. There comes a point where we have to look at it and say, how much more can I take of this? And if there comes a time where they are forcing you to sacrifice your values, just like I was talking about, or to lie, or to do something that you feel incredibly uncomfortable with, that is sacrificing your faith or your politics, whatever it is, then you might have to leave and you might have to say no. And this is why I'm also a fan of boycotting.
I was just going to say.
You were just going to say? Okay.
I was. Listen, yeah. No, we won't do this because we are all addicted. We're all drug addicts, every single one of us. But let's pretend for a moment that we're not. Here's what I'm saying. Do you realize that in this state, there's a handful of corporations that run the state? They call Newsom and they tell him what they want next. Okay, if you stopped buying or using an Apple product for a month, if you stopped using Google for a month, just a month, 4 weeks, if you didn't use these systems, Amazon, for 4 weeks, you could crush the economy of the ones that create most of the madness in this state. But we will never do it. I'm just dreaming right now. Because there's no way that we care that much to actually go to the store and buy something.
Let's be honest. We'll be on Facebook in the gulags, I think. I mean, that's...
Facebook in the gulags.
Yeah, it's already the gulag, basically. Yeah.
You guys, there's no way we're going to make it in this line, but we'll go as best we can. Thank you.
I'm sorry about that.
I'll try to be fast. I'm a single mom with 3 kids. I appreciate that you brought up VAERS and vaccine injuries and my body, my choice. And it's something that I've been battling since I started having kids 8 years ago, researching. I read a book called Vaccine Epidemic, which is a great book. It's very comprehensive. It's thick. It's a lot of different experts, not just one. So I just wanted to ask if with your knowledge of VAERS and the corruption in the CDC and the FDA and the corruption behind the vaccine, I think everybody is all up in arms over the vaccine mandates right now because now it's affecting adults. Right. But we parents have been fighting against the vaccine injuries that occur to our children. I have some that are vaccine injured, and they're denying their culpability. They don't know that the VAERS has distributed millions of dollars over the years for vaccine injuries, but it is horrendous to try to prove there's a vaccine injury. Mm-hmm. Most people give up and just deal with the repercussions and the developmental issues that then they are trying to decide, was this by birth or nurture nature, or was it a vaccine injury? Nobody wants to talk about that. And the pharmaceutical companies have been absolutely insulated from any culpability whatsoever and insulated by the media because they buy their commercials. So I know you've got a huge platform. I know a lot of people have been really smeared even trying to take on the vaccine issue. But since it's an issue now over this one particular vaccine that we know is experimental and extremely dangerous to everybody, and they're trying to now force it on five and up, without FDA or CDC approval. So it's just horrendous what they're doing. Would you be willing then to take on the VAERS and the vaccine injuries for other vaccines? Like there was a whistleblower recently regarding the aborted fetal tissue found within this vaccine. But it's in all the vaccines.
Yeah.
Everyone's up in arms now, but it's been happening for years and nobody's been paying attention unless you have kids that are vaccine injured.
Right.
If your kids are someone that they methylate properly and they don't get injured by a vaccine, praise God. And you say, well, vaccines worked for my kids. They didn't hurt my kids. Well, it's like playing Russian roulette with your kids. Because some of us do have kids that they don't properly methylate, and they do have vaccine injuries from that. And so I think we should be up in arms about all of them and really researching all of them. So is that an issue that you would be willing to take on in something like your book and raising awareness in a way that's, like you said, it's not offensive. Right. You're just speaking truth and asking questions and getting the conversation going.
Yeah, you can't even have those conversations anymore without being completely destroyed on social media. I mean, on social media, I would love to say more. But anytime you say something, I mean, that is immediate banning. If you say the things that I said on stage with Jack tonight about efficacy of these vaccines and things like that, I've never tweeted that. I have to relegate it to my speeches because if I say it on social media, it is immediate banning for saying something like that.
Exactly.
I am... Again, like I said before, I mean, the left used to be the anti-big business people. They used to be the ones who were like, big pharma, we don't agree with them. And now they love big pharma. Now they're all pharma. Now it's, I don't think the founding fathers had any idea how big multinational corporations could be in America. I don't think they understood how powerful they could be. You have investment firms on Wall Street. You have big food. You have big pharma. You have big tech and social media. You have all of these different massive conglomerate companies that, in my opinion, are doing a lot of harm for the American people and are really why we are in the place that we are today, because of the amount of control that they have and also the amount of money that they give to the politicians to make it so that they get special kickbacks when they get in office. And that's all it is. I mean, politics is just a corporate, here's how I can scratch your back and I'll give you some money with all these massive corporations. And so, yeah, I am very much to taking on Big Pharma when it comes to all of this. And I hope that in my next book, which I'm starting to work on, starting next week actually, already starting the next book, which I think I'm going to call High-Tech Feudalism, that essentially we can have anything we want, cheap stuff from China, social media, but we are slaves to all of these things from these corporate elite masters, essentially. And so, yes, I'm going to have either one or two multiple chapters on Big Pharma and everything they are doing.
Yeah, and you have to remember that these corporations, they have now come to the point, the Zuckerbergs and the Bezos of the world, they said it themselves some years ago that they were confronted with the concept of, wait a minute, we are so global that why would we relegate ourselves to the Constitution of the United States? We're bigger than America.
Yeah.
And they're certainly more wealthy than America. We're broke.
Yeah.
Right? You look at these companies that they don't need to succumb to U.S. law. Real quick.
I was just going to add that we don't have a religious exemption anymore in California, by the way, for our kids. So everybody keeps saying use a religious exemption. It doesn't work. SB 277, take it out, thanks to Richard Pan, years ago, and nobody stood up and fought against
it. Yeah, listen.
Because it's for the kids, not the adults.
I've got to tell you that the religious exemption has worked from this church in many, many areas. You got to use it. But if you don't use it, then you're going to lose it, okay? So there are people that will muscle you. Just know this. And we have got actual responses from you who have said our hospital took it. Our police officer, our union took it. Here's what we want to be very careful about, you guys, is, and very quickly, if they're forcing you to take it, you must have your own, write up your own statement that says, I am receiving this vaccination against my will. I understand that the data shows that it could harm me. I am now requiring this corporation for whom I work for under duress to keep my job. They said I have to have this vaccine. And I'll take the vaccine as long as a representative of the corporation signs this statement. Now, when we've had this done, this is what's happened. That the HR has taken it and said, we'll get back to you on this. And they haven't gotten back to the people on this yet. Listen, some people have said, we're not accepting vaccines. They come to me, I say, these are the attorneys to call. Others have come and said, Pastor Jack, our hospital accepted the religious exemptions. So use it. Don't assume that it's dead. Fight. Don't we quit too soon. That's what got me the most right. concerned about 100%. Americans, is that we're quitters.
Love watching you guys on PragerU every day, you and Amala.
Thanks,
it's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for being here. This is in regards to critical race theory, but more broadly, critical theory, which you can have critical climate theory, critical race theory, all of them. Do you think that with the school boards, I have a one-year-old, but he'll be there eventually, with going against critical race theory, that they're not teaching it in the most literal form, but rather they're doing it? Do you think that we should be arguing that critical theory should not be done to our children versus being taught, because they're actually doing it? They're teaching kids, if you're white, if you're this, if you're black,
right.
you are. It's being done. It's not being taught.
Well,
so do you think that we've addressed the argument in a wrong way because they like to use words loosely or very literally to make their argument so?
I don't think that we've addressed the argument in the wrong
confusing.
Way. I think that some people on the right might have misconstrued some things. I mean, that's just what politics is. Everyone's misconstruing things. You know, that's just a misconstruing type of field of work. But I don't think we've misconstrued anything in the sense that that is what CRT is, and they are teaching it to people. I have to talk to hundreds of parents all the time and students who are telling me this is literally what they're teaching me. They are saying, now they're having these new ones with the, you heard about this, that if you're right-handed, you have this privilege. I mean,
yes.
It's critical hand theory that is coming out now.
No, are you
right?
kidding? It's true. Take your hands right now. Look, we're almost done. We're almost out of time. Take your hands and fold your hands together. Which thumb is on top?
If it's the right hand on top, you are a racist. Okay? That's what
so,
it is now.
You guys, regarding his question, let me apply a little sarcasm to his question. What were you expecting? Now, he's got a one-year-old. He wasn't expecting anything yet. What were you expecting when you dropped your kid off at school? What were you expecting? No, honestly, let's not be funny about it. Think about it. I'm just asking you. What did you expect? To be taken care of? You dropped your kid off to be taken care of? You should have kept him at home. Wait, listen. What were you expecting? For them to be educated? Absolutely. What kind of education? No, you can't expect American history. They stopped teaching American history a long time ago. They do not teach American history in public schools anymore. So what were you expecting? When you drop your kid off at school tomorrow, what are you expecting? Listen, you cannot fault the world for them doing what they've always said that they would do. Don't be surprised. The only way to make a change is to push back by going to school boards and requiring and electing good people that understand
that our kids will never compete, never succeed against Asian nations and European nations in the classroom. Now, they're teaching CRT too, kind of, sort of, but they're also graduating these kids with super math and super chemistry and super biology. We're not doing that. We're focusing more on hating this nation than we are creating future citizens. So you need to remember, and I don't care if your kid goes to Christian school, watch out. Because you think that you're dropping them off at a Christian school and they're teaching your kids Sunday school material. Be very careful. The answer to your child's education is you being involved.
Yes.
100%. No other.
Amen.
One more.
Hey, Will, you're not too far out of college, and there's kind of a phenomenon going on right now, and I want to get your opinion on what's really happening and if it's going anywhere, and I'll just make it clean for you, the Let's Go Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Asking if I think the Let's Go Brandon is going anywhere. I think so, yeah. I mean, definitely. It's tough to see, you know, because I want people to know that it is more than just the Joe Biden administration that is happening, okay? I'm happy that we are going to college football games and there are people who are calling out and saying, this is what's wrong with our country. We don't like our president. The approval ratings are down the drain right now for Joe Biden. That's a good thing, okay? But getting Joe Biden out of office doesn't fix everything that's going on. Just like we were talking about in the school system. I mean, I think we should abolish the public schools. The public schools in this country are ruining it.
Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Rush required that for a public school to be formed and get federal income, that it had to have a Bible taught in the class. Did you know that?
Yes. People don't know that.
People don't know that.
The public school system in America was really founded by the Prussian model in the 1870s.
Right.
And by 1911, it was instituted in basically every state in America. And the public school model, even aside from all the leftism, you can even take much of the leftism out. The public school systems in America do not create articulate, creative children. It creates children who are obedient to authority.
That's right.
That is what they do.
Yeah.
And so the Let's Go Brandon, again, I am happy that people are waking up, but it's a lot more than that. It is a value battle that starts in education, with the parents, on the pulpit, in our communities,
voting. Everywhere,
voting. It is so much more than that. So I'm happy about it, but again, just like that Texas abortion bill, I want more.
Yep.
I want more.
You guys, let's stand, let's pray, and then Will's going to be in the foyer. You can get a picture with him as he signs the book you buy. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for my brother. So precious, so proud of him. And Lord, we ask you, God, that you keep him usable. We just need him to keep going. So Father, watch over him, keep him safe. And Lord, in the midst of all these things, we pray that you'd give him bigger platforms, greater influence. And Lord God, that you just galvanize him. And may he know that there's a church here that loves him and is praying for him. So we commit Lord Will Witt into your hands. And we thank you for him. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. He'll be in the
God
foyer.
God bless you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you.